Hey, good morning, New Hope family. Good morning, good morning. Good morning. Yeah, thank you. When they have a question that they don't really mean. It wasn't a rhetorical good morning. It was a real good morning. So, buenos dias. Yes. I love the Spanish language. I'm just not very good at it. I got to tell you, Felipe. So I was down in Mexico working with a church down there that we were partnering with. And I got up to speak and through an interpreter. And I got done. And the pastor of the church, he's a national pastor. He's a Mexican guy. He said, I like it when you talk. I'm like, thanks, man. He goes, yeah, when you talk, you sound like Nacho Libre. And I was like, well, I take that as a compliment. So, because I'm a big fan. But, so anyway, that basically means like you sound like an American who has forgot where he is. Hey, in case you haven't forgot where you are this morning, welcome to New Hope. I am Matt, and I'm the lead pastor here. We're glad that you're here with us this morning. I got a couple announcements for you as we get started. Let you know about some things that are happening in the life of our church. First of all, go back to that one. Oh, back one. Oh, there we go. If you are visiting with us this morning... There it is. If you're visiting with us this morning, on the seat back in front of you, there should be a little card that looks like this in the picture. Do me a favor, fill that out. I'd love to be able to drop you an email and just say thanks for coming, answer any questions you might have. If you have prayer requests, whether you're new or if you're here all the time, we want to be praying for one another. So if you would just, if you have prayer requests and you'd like us to be praying for you, you can write those down. You can drop those in the giving boxes in the back as you're leaving, those black boxes by the back doors, and we would just appreciate that. Then if you want to go to that next slide, this morning is one of two times during the school year that we have kind of a global missions emphasis where we talk about who we are as a, not just New Hope Church, but as a Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. We are part of something called the Alliance. And the Alliance is about 130 some years old. They have been serving around the world. It started with a pastor down in New York City by the name of A.B. Simpson, Albert Benjamin Simpson. And he was pastoring at the most prestigious church in America. It was even more prestigious than New Hope. And... So basically, he is like the most famous pastor in the most famous church in America, if you can be either of those things. And as he was serving, there were a lot of immigrants and dock workers coming into the country down there in the harbor. And he was going down and ministering them, and then he was inviting them to their church as they would receive Christ. And the people that were at his big fancy church, they were like, hey, we've kind of got we sort of have a reputation here. We can't have the riffraff coming in here. And so he had a choice to make. He could either follow what God called him to do and be a voice to all people, or he could kind of separate himself from the people that he felt called to serve and to minister to. And so he left that prestigious ministry, and he started something called, which is now called the Alliance. And we're a part of that as New Hope Church. So I want to let you know that. And actually, this morning, as we kind of turn our focus a little bit towards global missions, I just want to remind you that what we've been talking about in our Acts series about being witnesses, this isn't just something that happens over there. It's something that happens here and there and everywhere. So we're going to play a quick video that gives you an idea of who we are as part of the Alliance, and hopefully it's something that will inspire you to say, I want to be a part of that. So let's go ahead and play that video.
Jesus told his disciple, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world, and then the end will come. Reaching the whole world means going to hard places. There are more than 4,000 people groups that have not heard of the good news. That's 3 billion people living in darkness and without hope. Our calling as the Alliance is to go to these least reached people. The majority of the Alliance workers are in these remaining hard places, locations that are often hard to get to, where deep-rooted cultures are resistant to the gospel, places where ministry could carry the risk of imprisonment, deportation, or bodily harm. And even in locations that look easier economically or socially, our workers are still doing very challenging ministry. We choose these places on purpose because they are in need of Jesus' presence. In 2004, my husband and I followed God's leading and moved to a hard place overseas. We faced constant obstacle and discouragement. And at one point, I broke down and cried out. I can't take this anymore. I want to go home. Nothing could be worth all this. As I collapsed in tears, I heard the Holy Spirit whispered, Jesus is worth it. He is worth it all. And because Jesus is worth it, the unreached people he loves are worth it. It's only because Jesus commanded that we go and make disciples of all nations that the gospel reached us. Now it is our turn. This will require greater partnership with the Global Alliance family. It will require us to equip and send workers from diverse backgrounds. This calling is going to take all of us working together as an alliance. The task of reaching the unreached is hard, but he is worth it all. Alliance family, would you join me in praying that God would open doors to hard places? Pray that he will call more workers to the harvest field. Give to the Great Commission Fund so that we can expand our work to even more hard places. Will we do our part? Will we be the generation to complete the Great Commission and take the good news to hard places?
Amen. So this being our missions, Global Missions Emphasis Sunday, some of you know that we used to do a thing called Missions Conference where we'd have two Sundays that would bookend a week long of activities and stuff. And just less and less people would come out during the week. And so now we take two Sundays a year, we kind of separate them. And the problem for us is we're a small church, so it's harder for us to get actual missionaries from the field here unless we find out there's missionaries in the area that are home on furlough, that are taking a break, and we can get them in here to speak if it works with their schedule. And we've done pretty well with that, as best as we can do. But this year, that wasn't looking like it was going to line up. But the video says our theme is to the hard places. And the hard places are not just all over there somewhere, right? I mean, some of you know there's hard places here. And so we were able to find people that are ministering in a hard place called Fulton, New York, where I'm from. And so Amy Nielsen is not only the wife of the senior pastor at the Fulton Alliance Church, she's also, I don't want to get her into trouble, but essentially she pastors of the children's ministry and all the parents of the children. And so we're grateful to have her here this morning. She's going to share. And she's not just ministering in a hard place in Fulton, but she actually comes to us with a background in serving in global missions because her and Steve actually shared in Burkina Faso, West Africa, for a number of years. And so she's going to tell you a little bit about that and share a message that God has put on her heart, not only to help us think about what's going on over there, but to help us think about what's going on here, and most importantly of all, help us focus in on what's going on here, right? Because that's really where the transformation has to happen that moves us outward in our own lives. So excited about that. If you're like, well, how can I support the global missions effort? There's a couple ways. There's three ways you can support them. Number one, you can pray. And it's very important to be praying for those that are serving overseas in the alliance. Number two, you can give. And on the little cards that we have back at the giving boxes, there's a line there that says Great Commission Fund. And the Great Commission Fund is a fund that is set up. That's how we help support the missionaries that the alliance sends around the world. As you're watching the news these days and you're thinking about all the things that are happening in the Middle East and you're thinking about the things that are happening in the Ukraine and Russia, we have alliance workers in those areas. We have alliance workers, I know, alliance workers who are serving in Israel, ministering to the Jewish community. We also have missionaries in the alliance that are serving in Israel, ministering to the Palestinian community. And their life right now is filled with uncertainties. But there's one certainty in the midst of all their uncertainty, and that is the hope of the gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ that they're still trying to share with these people. And so as you think about how I can support these folks, one of the ways you can support is through giving. And right now, it's the kind of the first time in the history of the Alliance where our international workers, our missionaries, have been asked to raise some of their own support. So they're trying to raise about half of their support themselves, and then the rest of that support comes from people like us who are giving to the Great Commission Fund. We have partners in, I can't say because we're online right now, but serving in a place where I can't even tell you about because it would put them in danger. And as you give to New Hope Church, I want you to understand, even if you never give to the Great Commission Fund, if you give to New Hope Church, well, sorry, you're still giving to missions because we tie the little bit out of what you give to us over to missions. And we're going to continue to increase that amount every year. because we believe so much in that. So if you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I don't even know like what I have to give. I barely have enough to give to New Hope Church. Okay, well, maybe take some of that and give. It doesn't matter. We trust God. We don't talk a lot about giving here because people have always given sacrificially and generously, and we haven't had to preach on giving because God has met all of our needs, and in part because you have responded to his call to love one another through generosity. So the last way that you can be involved in that process, I told you, you can pray, you can give, you can go. You can go and visit our international workers. You can if God is calling you, you can go and become an international worker. Or you can go the way we're all supposed to go to complete the Great Commission into your neighborhoods, into your homes, into your workplaces, into your schools, and be a witness. And that's what this all comes down to. So long announcements this morning. Sorry, I just wanted to see how long I could keep them standing there and how long I could keep you guys sitting here. If you're nervous, don't worry. I'm not preaching today, so... I'm just trying to get all my words out. I don't know what to do with myself. All right, let's go ahead and pray as we continue in worship together. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather in this place this morning. God, we don't come here to hear a man speak or to hear a woman speak. We come here because we want to interact with your spirit. We want to be ministered to. We want to engage with one another, encourage one another. And God, we want the ministry of your word to happen. And whether that happens through me or through someone like Amy as she shares today, the thing that we ask is that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, that you would illuminate the truth of your word to our hearts and minds, that you would allow us to hear what it is that we need to hear. So right now, we just ask that you would help us to soften our hearts, to lay down our agendas, and to just seek you in this time. God, as we sing praises to you now, would you just be doing that work inside of us of aligning our hearts so that these words we speak are not just fun melodies or songs that we sing, but they are really a declaration of where we want our heart to be in terms of our relationship with you. And we just give you praise and all the honor and the glory and all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, while we have breath in our lungs, would you please stand and let's pour out our praise to God the Father together. grateful and expectant of this time together, Lord. You've brought us all together to this house for your purpose and your plan. Because you are sovereign, Lord, we know this. It wasn't on our own accord, Lord. We just thank you so much for holding us in your hand. I thank you so much for Amy joining us this morning and for the powerful truths that you have laid on her heart to share with us this morning. We are grateful and thankful. Lord, would you bless our time this morning? Bless Amy with whatever words you want her to say. In your name we pray, amen. Would you guys go ahead and have a seat?
Thank you so much. Good morning, church. Good morning. It is really special to be with you. So my husband, Steve, is the pastor at Fulton Alliance, right down the road, a nice little rainy, leafy morning drive over here this morning. So I am just so happy to be with you. I got to be with so many of these beautiful ladies last spring at Camp of the Woods for a lovely retreat. And I just want to say thank you for making me feel like just one of the girls and just the fun that we had. It was just so good. And I felt like I left there with so many new friends. And it's just when Matt and Shelly asked me to come, I said, first of all, I want to see everybody. But I really felt like this was a great opportunity and what an honor to lift up the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm just so happy to be here today. Thank you for that. I want you just to listen to the Word of God. I would love to read Colossians 1, and this is where I've been spending time as I've been preparing for today. I'm going to start with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ and on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of life. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moving from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. As I ask the Lord to just help me to hear his voice as I was studying this scripture, what came back to me was a message about the gospel. But you know, in the church, we hear this word, the gospel, the gospel. We can almost not hear it after a while. What does that mean? The transforming power of the gospel. Well, Paul, he was the one that helped us understand what the gospel was about. And so this morning, I would like us to take a look at this passage and ask the Holy Spirit to awaken in us in a new way our response to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to show you my family. So Steve and I, we have been married for 38 years. We have three grown children. Our daughter Abby on the bottom there and her husband, they live in Pearl River. Our second daughter Carrie lives in Lima, Peru. She's a third grade teacher there. And our son Peter is married and lives in Queens, New York, and he is a coffee roaster and manages The Elm. If you want a really good cup of coffee and you're in Queens, go see Peter at The Elm. And so on behalf of my beautiful family, I feel so glad to be here today. I do feel a little funny because I was making pies yesterday, and I took off my wedding rings and put them safely in a cup. So here I am today without my wedding rings. But Steve is also praying for us this morning, and he is here, and he prayed for me this morning as I was leaving home, and so grateful that I could come and share with you. We've been living in Fulton for 5 years, and during those COVID years, we had an initiative in our neighborhood called the Block Builders. Maybe you've heard of it, but if you did something to improve the front of your house, whatever money you spent, Block Builders would give you half of it back. And it was to increase how our neighborhoods looked and a little bit better curb appeal. And so we decided we were going to submit and we were going to try to do a new walkway up to our front door. And so we had all these bricks in our driveway. And one of my neighbors said, because they know our home is the parsonage, like, oh, this is a holy reverend's building an altar in his driveway. But I said, no, that's not it. But it was COVID times, and we weren't really doing much, but one of the neighbors said, if you come out, you can wear a mask, we're going to walk down the street, and we are going to look at all the different homes, the new shutters, the new driveways, and see how beautiful our neighborhood is becoming. So it was really cool because we hadn't seen people much. So we come out, we're walking down the street on that summer night, and we're admiring everything. And the ladies were chatting and talking about many, many things. And as we get to the end of the street, the one lady, I overhear her saying, I just wish somebody would tell me why I should believe in God anyway. And as I stood there, it just kind of took my breath away. I wasn't expecting that. And I remember just praying, Lord, give me the words to be faithful. You've done so much in my life. How can I say nothing? And we just stood there in that moment. As I look into this passage, I am compelled by the power of the gospel. This powerful gospel that has, first of all, the ability to change us. And as I look back just at that first part, I believe the gospel is real. As we look at Colossians 1, 3 to 6, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard about your faith, about your love, about your hope stored up for you. This is the true message of the gospel that came to you. This gospel is bearing fruit and it's growing throughout the whole world, just as it's been doing in you. Paul had a lot to say about the gospel. He was writing 3 decades after Pentecost. Jesus had gone to heaven. 30 years later, Paul is writing to the Colossians. Now, Paul had been on his missionary journeys. He had been to Ephesus. God did a mighty thing. And part of what God did there was the conversion of this man, Epaphras. We don't hear a lot about him, but we know that he was responsible for the gospel coming to the Colossians. Epaphras went to visit Paul in prison at this time in his life and asked him to write a letter to the Colossians. And so that's what we have right here. This is modern-day Turkey, is Colossae. Paul knew about the power of the gospel. He was Saul on the road to Damascus. His life was changed. You know that story. He personally encountered the truth of the gospel, the power to change him. And he was the one writing to them. He is the one that wrote this passage that God has used to tell us the gospel has the power to change your life. I believe the gospel is real. I was 6 years old. I went to vacation Bible school. I remember that night when Captain Farrell said, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're like the little sheep that went out and Jesus went out to find that lost sheep. And if that's you and you want to receive Jesus right now, I want you to stand up. I remember standing up. I knew it. I had already stolen candy from the grocery store. I had already locked my neighbor in the playhouse, which was a really bad idea because her dad was painting our house at the time, and I got in so much trouble. And I already at age 6, I knew there was something missing in my life. I still remember receiving Jesus in my life and the impact that it had on my childhood and on the years after that. And I really, really believe in children's ministry. Children have the ability in their amazing way by faith to receive Jesus and to let it integrate into their lives and their choices. And I love walking around this morning, seeing all your beautiful rooms and all the boys and girls. So good job. That's my heart and passion. When I was 16, I went to Honduras and I lived with a Honduran family. I really felt that I wanted to go overseas someday and serve the Lord. I felt a call on my life, but I really didn't know what that meant. I grew up in York, Pennsylvania. My dad was a lineman for the Metropolitan Edison, and my mom a nurse. And I just wanted to be obedient to God. And that summer in Honduras, I saw children who didn't have enough to eat. I saw another culture of the world. And I just said, God, I want to be part of this. I don't even know how, but I want to serve you. I went to Crown College. I studied education. And it was there that I met my husband, Steve. He was a missionary kid from Africa. And the long story short, God brought Steve and I together. And we ended up being church planters in Richmond, Kentucky for 5 years. I was teaching first grade, and we planted First Alliance Church of Richmond. At the end of that time, we were expecting our daughter, and she was born. And we went to France with our little baby and did our French language study with Christian Missionary Alliance. It was time for us to go to Africa at the end of that year. And we arrived and I just immersed myself in learning this new place, these new languages, French and also Jula. And there was a honeymoon period for sure. We finally were there and it took so many years to get there. But in that season, I gave birth to our second child, and in that difficult season, Samuel was born at 31 weeks, and he didn't stay. It was a very disappointing time, and I'm sure you've had times in your life when you're just disappointed with God. You don't know why God chose the path that he did, and there isn't anything you can do to fix it or to change it. Steve and I were incredibly impacted by this and paralyzed in many ways. And I remember this day in my home trying to piece it all together and to somehow fill this giant hole that I felt inside of myself. A group of women came walking across the town. They came to my house. They took off their shoes. They came inside. They sat down. They started to sing. They prayed for me. Then one older woman named Sarah, she stood up and she said, Ifo, Ifo. That means, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We're so sorry that your son came and he didn't stay. But please don't give up. We're praying for you. So my husband was translating because they were speaking Jula and I couldn't understand what they were saying. But friends, that day, in my adult life, I think I really began to understand the transforming power of the gospel for my own heart. My heart was so broken. I felt like it would stop beating. I felt so crushed. I felt like I had nothing to give. And the gospel reached me through those women. And God also showed me I had so much to learn. So much to learn from these women. They came, they walked, they took their time, their energy in the hot African sun, the middle of the day, to walk to my house, to take off their shoes, and be obedient to what God had told them to do. In many ways, I wanted to give up that day. But when I saw their beautiful faces and I heard their singing, I knew that God had sent them to me. I believe the gospel is real. I've seen it with my own eyes. I believe it is real. Colossians 1, 15 and 16 reminds us that the gospel is rooted in creation. This is a really interesting thing that's in this middle of this text, because Paul is reminding the Colossians, and he's reminding us, everything that God did through the gospel, he planned it at creation. Look at Colossians 1, 15 and 16. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. That's Jesus. In him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. When you think about creation, think about Genesis 1. When God was creating man, he gave us everything that we needed. We can learn so much about the character of God and who he is when we look at how he created the world. First, before he created man, he created water. He created day and night. Everything we needed. We needed food. We needed space. We needed work. He gave us beauty. He gave us rest. He gave us the law. He gave us relationship with himself. With himself. In Jula, we call that genyogonya. Genyogonya. Try to say it. It's a great word. Genyogonya. It means relationship, fellowship, communion. God wanted that with man. He wanted to have that relationship. But we all know that that was broken because of sin. God also gave us choice. God knew that in order for us to really love him back, he had to give us the choice to do it. When someone loves you and they choose to love you, that's when we feel loved. We know that they chose to love us. It was their choice. And God gave that to Adam and Eve. It's amazing when we look at Genesis 1, we see, let us make man in our image. Isn't it cool that Jesus is in Genesis 1? Let us make man in our image. It's a plural pronoun, our image. We see the Trinity. The Spirit of the Lord was over the water. And let us make man in our image. And then in Genesis 3, 15, we see the promise of salvation when the word of God says, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This already the first prophecy that Jesus would give us victory over the enemy. I love this because this helps us to see what God is like. He gave us Jesus. We know that the gospel is real, but we see that it's rooted in creation. When we look around, we see the power of our Lord God to create us and also to save us. The gospel is rooted in creation, and the gospel is radical. Steve and I were in the 10th year of our work in the Ivory Coast first. When we experienced one of our greatest challenges, we were working with Muslim background people, and we saw 24 over a period of years come to faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized. This was such an exciting thing to be part of alongside our national brothers and sisters working so very hard. God blessed us with Carrie. She was also born in Africa. Peter, who was born in Africa. And I feel like we were probably doing the thing that we dreamed of finally doing. And one afternoon, I took the kids. We went to eat in a Lebanese shawarma restaurant. It was Independence Day in the Ivory Coast, and the flags were flapping outside. We just got our food when five armed men came into the restaurant. They put down their duffel bags, they started pulling out their guns, and they began slapping people, stealing their watches, taking their phones, and then they came over to our table, and they were pointing their guns at my children, and then they reached across and took me. They took me in their car, they began slapping me and hitting me, hit me in the face with their pistol, and they said, if you don't give us lots of money, we're going to kill you. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, you got the wrong girl. My purse was back at the restaurant. It had my keys in. My house was locked up tighter than a drum. And even if I could get in my house, I maybe had, who knows, $100 somewhere stuffed away. And I just cried out to the Lord, God, please help me get out of this car. I was squeezed in the back seat with three of the men, and they pulled my hands apart and said, il faut pas prier, don't pray. And then I'm like, oh, pray, good idea. Thanks for reminding me. And I just started praying and saying, God, I just want to be Abby and Carrie and Peter's mom. Please, God, get me out of this car. I have no idea how to get out of this car. They took me to our mission safe, long story short, and stole $16,000 from our mission. They took me again as their hostage. And at that time, I remember thinking, God, like, if this gun goes off accidentally, I'm going to just die, and I'm going to see you, Jesus. Like, I've been talking about you and singing about you and thinking about you, and, like, I'm going to see you. I'm going to see you. And somehow, in the middle of all that horror was this amazing assurance that I was going to see him. And that's such a beautiful thing. Somehow, at the end of that, those guys left me in a field in the dark. And I thank the Lord, even though they had smacked me around, they didn't assault me in any other way. We didn't know that we were 1 year away from a civil war in the Ivory Coast, and we eventually had to leave there. We arrived back in York in October of 2001 and 2002, and we just said, Lord, this isn't how we planned it. But God wasn't done with us yet. We were invited to another West African country, and God began to redefine our work. And in 2006, a group of women came to me and said, would you help us create a center for girls? Girls who have been through hard times. Girls who haven't had opportunity. Only 15% of young women in this country will ever graduate from high school. And maybe their brothers will have more opportunities. But for these girls, they have to stay home. Maybe their father died or their mother is ill. They have to care for their siblings and cook and clean. But if we could create a center where the poorest of poor could come, they could learn to read and write. They could learn to make shea butter soap and how to sew on a treadle sewing machine. They could take care of animals and learn how to do gardening. And we began to pray and ask God, could you give us a center? And we thank God that in 2008, Dorcas House opened its doors, a 2-year residential program where there would be food and rest and literacy and skills and discipleship. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, what? He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things are coming. I've seen it with my own eyes. Young girls coming who, they don't even know how to look you in the eye. They don't know what they're worth. They only know what they're able to carry and what chores, domestic chores, they're able to do. But as they learn the word of God, as they learn to sing and pray and memorize scripture, they're able to look you in the face and on their graduation day wear an outfit of clothing that they've constructed themselves and worship the Lord and know that they are valuable to God. Jesus is able to give us new life. His gospel is radical. The gospel is real. It's rooted in creation. It's radical. And the gospel is reaching. The gospel is reaching around the world. We're going to anchor this again in Colossians 1:23. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. The gospel is wrapping around the world. Verse 6, that has come to you in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it. Would you turn to a person next to you and say, the gospel is going around the world? We also saw this in Colossians 1 when it says the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. Do you know what? I think if you and I could see what the gospel is doing around the world, it would totally blow us away. If we could see what God is doing among Arab people right now, how the gospel is penetrating, I think we wouldn't know how to contain it. If we saw the hundreds of thousands of believers worshiping today in Africa, how could we contain it? The impact of the gospel is so great. The gospel transcends culture. It's a miracle. This book that God gave us, 2,000-year-old book, there's nothing else in this room that's 2,000 years old. When we read it, it's not like Beowulf or Shakespeare. We can read it. We can understand it. It makes sense. It's relevant. How is that possible? It's a miracle. It wasn't written by one person. 66 different books over such a long 1,500 years. And yet today, when we read the Word of God as we're doing this morning, it speaks to our hearts. The gospel transcends culture all around the world, like we saw in the video. The gospel transcends age. We had a baptism last week. We had 5 children that wanted to be baptized, and one little boy, Lucas. I think he's 7, but maybe he's 8 or 9. But when we baptized him, I said, Lucas, why do you want to be baptized today? He said, because I want to be on God's team. The gospel reaches. The gospel reaches across the generations. It's reaching across the world. It is bearing fruit. And it's such a blessing that I can still be on the board at Dorcas House, and I can testify to over 180 graduates now of a 2-year program that is ongoing. I'd like to share a short video with you that we've prepared to share about Dorcas House. Would you join me in watching this?
Those are the girls of Dorcas House. My name is Amy Nielsen, and my husband Steve and I spent over 20 years of our life living in West Africa. You know, if you know us, our concern and our love for the people. Dorcas House is a wonderful center where young women can come in a 2-year residential program where they can learn to read and write and learn life skills like gardening and sewing on a treadle sewing machine. So when they leave, they have some life skills in their pocket. But they also learn what their value is to God. They study the Word of God, scripture memory. They have songs and prayer. They live in community. And we thank God that for 15 years, we've seen over 180 young women go through a 2-year residential program. Each year, 10 new women come, and 10 women finish the 2nd-year program. We put together a small video so that you could see now in 2023, what is happening at Dorcas House. Would you join us in celebrating the faithfulness of God? Jesus said that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. celebrate all that God has done during these 15 years and each one of those women that have gone on in their lives to succeed in the strength of the Lord. I want to thank each one of you who have been part of the Dorcas House family, giving financially and praying over this long 15 years. Or maybe you're hearing about Dorcas House for the first time. It takes about $1,400 a month to subsidize the work at Dorcas House, the salaries, the health insurance for our staff, as well as repairs and the health need and food of the young women who are there. Would you consider joining as part of our donor team to help support Dorcas House? Would you pray for the safety of Dorcas House and the staff and all those who have been affected by violence in recent times? Thank you for sharing our hearts and our concerns. We celebrate the goodness of God, and we look forward to many more years for Dorcas House.
Thank you for letting me share that with you. One of the special blessings that I didn't know about when Matt asked me to share is that we have an opportunity to go to Burkina Faso next month. And so on November 18th, Steve and I are going to be able to be part of the 100th anniversary of the church, of the Alliance Church in Burkina Faso. And we're so excited about that. And we praise God for it. We'll be there for about 10 days. And we're also going to be able to attend the graduation of Dorcas House, and we're excited about that. I have a sign-up sheet out back if it's something you would like to know more about, or if God puts it on your heart and you would love to give. I am trying to just encourage and raise money for the 10 sewing machines that we're going to be giving out at the graduation, and they're about $140 each. So we're just trusting God that He'll provide all of the needs of Dorcas House. Thank you for letting me share about that, and that's a big thing on my heart today. But at the heart of this message, what I really felt that God gave me for you and for myself is that the gospel first transforms me. The gospel starts here. I have nothing to give until I personally know on a day-to-day basis, how is God changing me? How is God transforming me? What is my response to the gospel? Am I ready to take off my shoes like those women did for me that day and to be obedient to the call? It might look different. Taking off your shoes in Central New York looks a little different than it does in the Ivory Coast. But whatever God calls us to do, are we ready to be obedient? That evening on my street with my neighbors, I just prayed like an inhale prayer. God, please help me. And when my neighbor said, I wish somebody would tell me why I should believe in God anyway. She was referring to all the fighting going on in the world in the name of God. I said, well, I believe in God. I haven't gotten to share with you guys, but when I was working in Africa, I was kidnapped by 5 men in a car. And I prayed and I asked God to get me out of that car. And it was a miracle. He did. And my faith was really strengthened that night. I know that God exists and I know that He's real. It was really quiet, but they weren't unkind. And they said, oh, wow, thanks. Thanks for telling us that. This morning as we finish, I just have two kind of reflection questions. Do I recognize ways that Jesus is transforming my life right now? Is it my experience? Do I believe that the gospel is real? I know it's radical. I know it's not like what a lot of people think who are worldly minded. That's why we need to be reading Colossians 1. We need to be spending time with God so that His Holy Spirit can help our faith to grow and push the doubts out. We need to have that time so that our hearts are transformed, so that we have a message to share. And this morning, as Matt shared about the Alliance working around the world, what is my part? What is my part in advancing the spread of the gospel today and in my lifetime? It could be helping to organize a Christmas outreach for your church. It could just be loving your husband, being faithful to him, and loving your children. A lifetime that's consistent is a testimony to the gospel. Be your authentic self, that person that God has made you to be, and let his life and his gospel shine through you. As the worship team is going to just play quietly, I just want us to take a minute of prayer. Would you just close your eyes if you're comfortable with that? And just talk to the Lord about this. Lord, transform my heart. Change my heart, Lord God. You know where I'm struggling. You know where I'm weak. You know my physical needs. I need a touch. The transforming power of your gospel. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I need that power in me. Come, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, please show me what is my part. What is my part in the gospel? This good news that is wrapping around the world, how am I a part of that in my life every day? Help me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help us awaken our hearts, Lord God. Awaken our hearts today, Lord God, that your Spirit would fill us and flow through us, that we can overcome the obstacles that we've been struggling with, that we can receive your power like a power wash on our soul today. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I want to just remind us of this beautiful promise that Jesus said in Matthew 24:14. He said, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." The gospel is traveling around the world, and we get to be part of that as part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. So I look forward to chatting with some of you after. If you want to pick up a brochure in the back about Dorcas House, feel free to do that. My contact information is on the back, and also how you can give to Dorcas House if God puts that on your heart. And thank you for praying for Steve and I as we travel to Africa next month. God bless you, and go in the joy and power of the gospel. Amen.
Would you guys stand and join us as we close?
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
wonderful and special morning together to hear from Amy. Thank you so much for joining us, Amy. Pray that you guys were blessed and have a wonderful afternoon. You guys are dismissed.